Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. One of my favorite quotes about philanthropy is from Winston Churchill, who says, "We make a living by what we do, but we make a life by what we give." And I believe life becomes more meaningful and purposeful when we find ways to give to others. And I'm proud to say that Americans are very generous. The World Giving Index reported that from 2009 to 2018, the U.S. consistently ranked number one of the most generous countries in the world. In 2022, Americans were still towards the top as the third most generous country, behind Indonesia and Kenya, I believe it was. We've slipped a little bit since then, but we do still remain in the top 10, which is no surprise. In 2022, Americans gave just over $499 billion to various causes and charities. And to put that into perspective, it averages out to every individual in the United States donating $1,500. This generosity is often attributed to a variety of factors, including personal values, a desire to make a difference, and a sense of social responsibility. Now, there are a number of great service organizations with a local presence, including Rotary, Lions Clubs, Elks, Kiwanis, Optimist Club, Shriners, Knights of Columbus, to name a few, that were formed with the specific goal to help others in a variety of ways. Today, we're going to talk with an individual from the first and oldest service club in the world and learn how they are making an impact in our community. So welcome to the show today, Carl Schultz from the Elmbrook Rotary Club.
Thank you, Jill, and thank you for the opportunity to be with you today. And may I say, I really admire what EIG does in the way of charitable donations and sponsorships, some really wonderful services you do for our local community, so thank you for that.
Well, you're certainly welcome. You're certainly welcome. It's a pleasure, actually. For those that may not know, why don't we start by having you tell us what, or should I say who, Rotary is?
Well, as you mentioned, Jill, Rotary is the oldest service club in the world. And more than that, it's a global network of men and women of all ages who use their passion, energy, intelligence, to take action on really sustainable projects from peace, world peace, literacy, clean water and health. Rotarians are always working toward a better world and trying to create lasting change around the globe, in our communities and, let's face it, in ourselves as well.
Absolutely. Well, okay, so we mentioned that Rotary is the oldest service club in the world. I think that's very interesting. But tell us the rest of the story.
Well, interestingly, Rotary was founded by a Racine, Wisconsin native. This is a gentleman who ultimately became a Chicago attorney, and he formed a Rotary Club with some local business professionals with different backgrounds, and they got together to exchange ideas and form lifelong friendships. And interestingly, the name Rotary came from meeting in one office and then rotating to another member's office, rotating to another, and that's how the name kind of stuck. So,
ooh, that's a good trivia question.
So this this year is the 120th anniversary of Rotary. But interestingly, only 16 years after Rotary was founded back in 1905. 16 years later, Rotary had clubs on six continents.
Wow, that's very impressive. Wow. Well, so how many Rotary clubs and members are there in the world?
There are thousands of clubs, 46,000 clubs, over 1.4 million members in over 200 countries. And it's kind of interesting, in my business travels, I was not long ago in Almaty, Kazakhstan. That's the biggest city in Kazakhstan. It's right up against the Russian border.
I was going to say, where is Kazakhstan?
Well, it's right up against the Russian border.
And okay.
I met some colleagues for dinner, and there is a plaque on the wall. Here is where the Rotary Club of Almaty, Kazakhstan meets.
Wow, what a coinkydink that was.
And there are Rotary Clubs everywhere.
Wow. Well, so then how did you get involved?
Well, I was introduced to Rotary by a very good friend who just called me one day and said, I'd like to buy you breakfast, and I have something of interest. I think you're really gonna like this idea. And I was exposed to the Elmbrook Rotary Club and just found it to be a wonderful, wonderful organization with great people, very accomplished, wonderful, generous people.
And areas of focus. So there's lots of things that you guys get involved in, but are there particular, specific areas of focus?
Well, internationally, Rotary really has become interested in peace, which is always a challenge, let's face it.
Right, right.
Since the 70s, Rotary has really focused on the elimination of polio. And our parents and maybe grandparents can recall back in the 40s, 50s, when polio was just such a frightening, terrible disease. And since then, Rotary International and all the Rotary clubs around the world have worked with the Gates Foundation most recently, Bill and Melinda Gates. And over the years, polio has been reduced worldwide by 99.9%. I mean, we're so close to ending that disease for good. There's just a handful of polio cases these days in Pakistan and Afghanistan. As you can imagine, those are countries where it's very, very difficult to serve people in rural areas, and you know, both politically and just the you know, just the mechanics of reaching people in places like that. But we're so, so close to the total elimination of polio on this earth.
And didn't you immunize like over 2.5 billion children?
Yes, yes. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful feature of Rotary.
And you had mentioned a little bit before about clean water and sanitation and, you know, fighting disease. Those are some of your other areas of focus?
Well, our club especially, we are very, very interested in many clean water projects. We have a group that travels to Guatemala every February. And oftentimes we are involved in drilling wells, clean water, latrines, building schools, building medical facilities. Most recently, we partnered with Engineers Without Borders and the Milwaukee Rotary Club on a water project that has brought, for the first time, clean, drinkable water to three villages in Guatemala, and 3,700 residents now will have 468 faucets that will give them, for the very first time, access to clean drinking water, cooking, bathing. And in the past, one of the kind of tragic parts about almost half the world doesn't have access to clean drinking water, tragically. And what we find in many places in the world is when children are born, especially sad to say when girls are born, as soon as they're old enough, their job is to carry water, believe it or not, and go to the nearest stream, which may or may not have healthy water in it, and bring water. And oftentimes that means that those girls will never have an education. They'll never go to school.
No.
They'll spend their early life carrying water, and then later on, you know, maybe get involved in some farming locally, but what we're interested in is that people will have access just like we do. You imagine we all grew up, you turn a faucet and...
Right, you've never worried about where your water's coming from.
Out comes wonderful, clean drinking water.
Yeah, and you guys support education and protecting the environment and all kinds of cool stuff like that, too,
we
right?
do indeed. And internationally, Jill, we are very much involved, our local club, in... of course, the Rotary Foundation's Ride to End Polio. We really want to finish polio for good. Our club has worked with Andean Health and Development. We actually financed two neonatal incubators in rural villages in the Andes. And you can imagine in the past, a pregnant woman might come into the village and she's really in distress. And in the past, she and the baby may both die.
Yeah.
And now for the first time, we have neonatal incubators available that could save a child's life. And,
yeah.
and in the hope that 25, 30 years from now, that child may grow to do wonderful things in their country.
You impact one person and you just never know.
That is the idea.
Okay, so we know that there's a national and an international presence of Rotary doing great things, as Carl just talked about. But what about right here in our own backyard? Stay tuned, because after a short commercial break, we're going to learn more about what's happening on the local front. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm continuing my conversation today with Carl Schultz from Elmbrook Rotary. So, Carl, tell us, we learned about some of the international things that you have going on in the last segment. Tell us about what's going on locally.
Well, I have been surprised to learn that in southeastern Wisconsin alone, there are 55 Rotary clubs with 2,200 members.
Wow.
And in our particular club, you know, like those others, we work to help meet a lot of community, international, vocational needs, both locally and internationally. And our club, the Elmbrook Rotary Club, is a group of 80 wonderful people who've just become fabulous friends. Last year, our club donated over $90,000 to a lot of just very interesting needs around our community and beyond. Our club is a morning club. We meet early Friday mornings at 7 o'clock because there are many working members like myself. Our club, when I first was introduced to Rotary, I imagined Rotary was a bunch of old retired guys who met at lunch and then smoked cigars. And I have found that our club is not like that at all. We have members from their 20s, 30s, 40s. Obviously, we have recent retirees, and of course, that gives them the opportunity to be even more involved in some of our activities.
And I think that's wonderful to have all those generations represented. That's really great. Give us an example of some of the major efforts that you're working on, like the Waukesha Food Pantry.
Well, again, we do a lot of wonderful international things, but locally, Food Pantry in Waukesha, Waukesha Women's Center, we're very much involved with WellPoint, Care Network for Youth Education. We're very much involved with Ronald McDonald House. We do things, book collection for children, many, many youth symphony. Just there are many, many local community things we're involved in.
And again, you talked about a lot of that disease prevention globally, but you're working with healthcare facilities here in addition locally on that front as well, correct?
We do. And of course, we are involved with Community Smiles that offers youth dental care program and National Alliance for Mental Health, Mental Illness. An important feature of our club, and Serenity Inns, Milwaukee VA Medical Center. We work for vets care, of course.
Lots of really great stuff going on, huh?
There really is. There really is a great organization.
Well, Okay, so we know about the things that you're doing. So the question I have is, how do you raise the money then for that?
Well, of course, we have individual donations from our members. Every year for many, many years, for decades, our largest fundraiser is an event we call Elmbrook Family Fest. And it takes place on the first Saturday of June every year. It's at Worth Park in central Brookfield. There is a beautiful rehabilitated playground that our club was a major donor in the rehabilitation of this all-access playground.
Yeah, it's like an ADA playground,
it
right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's just a fabulous facility. And yeah. We're so proud to be part of it. So
yeah, I used to play ball at Worth Park.
And, there you go.
And I went by there recently and I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, it's like three times the size it was before.
So Elmbrook Family Fest is our major fundraiser, and we have sponsors. We have corporate sponsors. We have individual sponsors for, typically, we have live music. We have sort of relaxed competitive volleyball, and lots of things for the kids, for families. Face painting, a bouncy house. There's just going to be a wonderful mix of events, and of course, food and beverages.
Wisconsin event would it be if you didn't have food and specific beverages?
You know it, Lee.
if your main fundraising event is that Elmbrook Family Fest, you're going to want to make sure that you get information about that if you're interested in that kind of a thing. So, okay, so that's how you raise money. How much does Rotary Foundation give on an annual basis?
The Rotary Foundation gave out district grants most recently of $26 million.
Wow.
324 disaster response grants totaling $15 million. And it's kind of fascinating when there is some disaster locally, a fire, flood, that sort of thing. Oftentimes, Rotary clubs from all around the country will join together to help mitigate some of those problems. So it's really wonderful to see. Over 1,000 global grants totaling $55 million most recently. And it's just a Charity Navigator gives Rotary its very highest rating, 4 out of 4.
Nice.
Routinely. I mean, it's just a wonderful organization that, except for some staff at the Rotary headquarters in Evanston, Illinois, everyone works for free.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay. So let's say somebody's listening and they're interested in becoming a Rotarian. How does someone learn more about that?
Well, easily, Google rotary.org. And in our specific club, it's elmbrookrotary.org, and all kinds of information will come up. You can get the history of Rotary, the history of a particular club. Again, you can throw a rock in southeastern Wisconsin and you're going to hit a town with one or more Rotary clubs. Milwaukee has 4 Rotary clubs. Waukesha has 2. There's 3 in Oshkosh. There's 2 in Fond du Lac. I mean, just almost everywhere you turn, you'll find Rotary clubs.
Yeah, 55 clubs, you said, in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yes,
that's
yes,
really impressive.
It
so if someone just Googles Rotary Club, can they then dial down into the area that they're looking
yes,
for?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All
absolutely.
Right. So if you're interested in doing that, please Google Rotary Club and mm-hmm. see which one is closest to you and how you might be able to make a difference in some way.
And our Elmbrook Rotary Club, of course, not everyone is from Brookfield or Elm Grove. We have members from the city of Milwaukee, from far west, from Mequonico. I live in Waukesha, and even though there are 2 clubs in Waukesha, I've just been involved with the Elmbrook Club, but I've visited other clubs, and every chance I get, when I'm traveling on business or on vacation, I try to stop and check into a local Rotary meeting, because there's just wonderful people, invariably really interesting folks to
nice.
Meet with, and We know we have friends everywhere.
That's right.
When you're a Rotarian.
Very good. Very good. Well, Carl Schultz, thank you for joining me today and talking all about your interest and your passion with the Elmbrook Rotary and sharing all the great ways that they're making a difference in our community, locally and globally.
Thank you so much, Jill. It's been a pleasure.
You're certainly welcome. Well, our next guest happens to be a Rotarian, in addition to sitting on the board of the Elmbrook Rotary. In our second half of the show, she'll talk about some other ways that she gets involved with the community over and above her involvement with Rotary. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a short commercial break.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Sandy Wysocki, Executive Director from the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center. Welcome to the show today, Sandy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So, gosh, you're a Rotarian, you sit on the board. I mean, you get involved in a lot of ways, and I'll give you an opportunity to tell us about that. But start out by giving us a little bit of history about your organization, the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center.
Well, the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center was an idea back in the mid to late 90s when the city of Brookfield decided they did not have a place for performing arts in the city. And Elmbrook School District did not. So after a failed referendum and some other things, the city of Brookfield got together with the Elmbrook School District and private funding, and after the course of several years, got together, and the center was built and dedicated in 2002. Okay. So we're coming up on 23 years.
Okay. And what's the mission of the Wilson Center?
Well, the mission of the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts is to be a vibrant destination, expanding, inspiring, and delivering a lifetime of arts education and experiences.
And so, do you have community partners that help you fulfill this mission?
Yes, thanks for asking. Yes, we do. I mean, that mission is all-encompassing, but we do have the Elmbrook School District was one of our original partners and remains that today. We have them there. They're with us up to 85 days a year. That we also have one of our original partners, the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music, and they have music lessons every day, almost at our place. We also have a partnership with First Age Children's Theater, the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra, and we have a church that meets every Sunday, Shore Point.
Oh, nice. Okay, so let me get back to that for that question that I brought up at the beginning, that you're involved. You got your hands in a lot of different things. Are you an avid arts and entertainment gal? And how did you get to this place of leadership at the Wilson Center?
Well, I have been a variety of things through my course of my career, but I've always enjoyed arts entertainment. So I've been a long time patron of the Milwaukee Rep, the Milwaukee Symphony, and several... My children, when they were young, we would go to First Stage. And so I've always had a passion for the arts, music, theater, dance. I wasn't a musician myself, per se, but I always enjoyed seeing it. And then, to the course of time, I joined a committee, the Marketing and Development Committee at the Wilson Center. And then a few years later, I was asked to join the board. And then at one point when they were looking for an executive director at the Wilson Center, I got a phone call and they said, my name keeps coming up as a potential candidate. And I hadn't really thought about it when I joined the board. I never really thought I'd work there, but that was a little over 3 years ago, and it's been a great opportunity for me.
And I think that just speaks to this idea of getting involved. You know,
sure.
People say sometimes I don't know where to start. Well, you had an interest in musical theater and the arts, and so you just volunteered. You know, you became a Rotarian. You sat on the many different boards, and that really gives you a benefit of just tapping into what all these different organizations do to then understand if you'd want to be a part of it. And
correct.
Obviously, the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center, you wanted to be a part of that one. So you mentioned before that Elmbrook School District was one of your community partners. Talk to us about how you work with them.
Well, we have a wonderful partnership with them. As I said, they are up to 80 days a year. They, all of their high school musicals, high school concerts, middle school band, sixth grade band, eighth grade choir. So the school district is in our halls quite often throughout the entire academic year. And we really, they provide a lot of opportunities for students to be on the stages, the same stages as many of the professional musicians are on. So it's really quite an opportunity for them.
And didn't you, we were talking before our recording that recently you had a situation where a high school kid was able to play.
We offer a lot of different performances, but we had one in particular that was quite special this past year. We had a Grammy award-winning artist named Arturo O'Farrell, a Latin jazz artist, and he came in the day before his performance that was scheduled at our center, and he had an outreach and worked with a school, the Bruce Guadalupe Middle School in Milwaukee. He spent the morning working with students, and then as part of grant funding by the Wisconsin Humanities Board, we were able to offer students tickets along with their parents to the show the following evening on Saturday night. So the students came. One of the students in particular was a pretty gifted pianist. And so for the last song in the artist's show, he brought all the students on stage, and then he had this pianist play with him on stage with his ensemble, and they had played the day before in this workshop. And then, to the audience's surprise, Arturo got up and let the student play by himself with his ensemble. Mm. And it was amazing to see his talent. Two of the students were also participating in percussion. And so the audience was just amazed to see these students and the opportunity they had to play. We all agreed, those students, it was a life-changing evening for both the audience and the students.
Yeah, and can you imagine the parents of that young man? Just so, so proud. Do you have mostly music performances then?
We probably have more music than anything else. We have had theater. We've had some dance. Last year, we had a particularly interesting opportunity. You may know that the Milwaukee Rep is in the process of renovating their space. So in this entire year, they have taken some of their performances off-site. So in the fall of 2024, the Milwaukee Rep had their fall musical at the Wilson Center in Brookfield. So they had 44 performances, which was quite an opportunity for us. So between mid-August and mid-October, all we had was the Rep there. So that was very, very different. But a great opportunity for in several ways. First of all, it allowed us to expose Milwaukee audiences to the Wilson Center and Brookfield. But just as well, a lot of the Waukesha County audiences were able to experience the Rep. And so it was really a great partnership that we were able to enjoy.
And sometimes people just don't want to drive downtown.
Well,
you know, so.
And some of the audiences in Milwaukee just didn't even know that we existed. So it was really a great
win-win. Yeah, it was a win-win. Yeah. So tell us about some of the big names that you've had at the Wilson Center.
Well, we have a lot of names from out of town. But we also have some great local names, too. We typically, each Christmas, we have the Milwaukee Symphony. We've often had the Milwaukee Jazz Institute. We've also had shows that we rent our space to out-of-state agents and performers. So we've had, not too long ago, we had Justin Hayward, the lead singer for the Moody Blues. Here's the lead singer to the Moody Blues in Brookfield, and it was something that was really amazing. But we've had we've also had performers through the years that started out as maybe a little known performer playing in a small theater and suddenly become a major national performer. And so we've seen artists grow throughout the years and starting out in Brookfield and becoming a national and international star.
And you told me in between the break that you really have something for everyone.
Yeah, when we book our shows, we really try to think about a variety of things. We have jazz, we have country, we have bluegrass. We sometimes will get shows that have been on Broadway, songs. We also have a series catered to matinees, catered primarily to seniors, and we'll talk about songs from the silver screen. And so we also have a series for school-age children where we offer a field trip opportunities. And so seniors, students, a lot of different types of music on our stages. It's really an opportunity to get a little bit of everything.
And I really would encourage people to check out your website, because you've got some exciting names coming up, and you know, exciting names in the past, exciting names coming up. And so checking their website will give you a real good idea about what you can expect. So the Wilson Center has some really great musical entertainment options for people to consider, again, as Sandy has been telling us. But what about other offerings, let's say in the area of art or maybe programs for kids and families? Well, stay tuned, and Sandy will let us know about that after our commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm ending our last segment today with Sandy Wysocki again, Executive Director from the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center. So, Sandy, you've got some really great musical offerings for people to consider, and you talked about that in the last segment. What about other things like art? Do you offer anything there?
We do have. We have a complete menu of visual arts classes. A lot of people aren't aware of that, but we have classes for adults and teens. We have like a sip and paint class, nature drawings, floral arranging, pottery. We have our own kiln on site, jewelry making, chalk pastels. We even offer figure drawing, which very few people do. So we really have something for everyone in terms of art classes.
Okay, and then what about children and families specifically?
Well, one of the things we do on the second Saturday of each month, we offer a free family art workshop at our center. It's free, but we ask people to pre-register on our website just to make sure we have enough capacity. The other thing we do is we have 2 weeks in the summer where we offer arts camps, and they're usually tied with nature and art. And finally, we also have, as I mentioned perhaps earlier, we have about five or six student performances primarily focused on children's programming that are offered to schools for field trips. But we also keep a segment of tickets set aside for homeschools and individual tickets.
Oh, nice. Okay. So I think Milwaukee is known for our music festivals during the summer. Summerfest being right up there at the top, but you've got some really great things going on right there at the Wilson Center during the summer. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, we're probably best known for our Starry Nights series. It's usually six Friday nights in the summer, usually in July and August. We feature a variety of music styles, 50s. We have cover bands, 80s cover bands. We have some salsa, typically, just a variety of different types of things. And we typically end with a tribute to Irish Fest, usually the second week of August.
And you have food trucks there, too.
Yes, the concerts are free. We have food trucks. We have an outdoor bar. And we have a kids area to help entertain children.
Do you have a dance floor?
We don't have a dance floor, but most people dance anyway.
They're dancing in the aisles.
Yeah, they do dance, and because we have plenty of space. And in mid-July, we also host a car show. Now, the interesting thing about our car show, it's just something that we've done for many, many years. And we have the kids be judges.
Oh.
So what's kind of unique about that is we have several hundred cars there. But the kids go through, and when they vote, they will pick like the red one or the blue one or the Star Wars theme, and they pick colors and themes, they don't know it's a 57 Chevy or right, a 64 right. whatever.
Or a specific kind of engine yeah, that it has.
Right. And they're there, and the owners are very proud of their cars, and the attendees can go through and see them all. But the kids vote. We give them a little Hot Wheel car when they vote. It's great fun.
And you know what? We did for the first time last year a car show because here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. And it was such a big hit. Now, we didn't have anywhere near as many cars as you did. Yeah. But just knowing how people love their car shows, I think that's really great that you right. that you have one and that the kids get to be judges. How awesome is that? Yeah. And I know you also have a space for displaying art. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. It's actually the hallway outside our balcony. So it's viewing space. I wouldn't necessarily, it's a big enough to be a full-fledged art gallery, but we call it the Plaque Art Gallery. And we actually have a application process in the fall. And the last year we had 50 artists apply. We pick four. We usually have an artist display each quarter. And each quarter then we typically will have an artist that will make a presentation at an art gallery opening. And we also offer the art for sale. So it's just a great way to expose our audiences. When they are attending a show, many of them spend their time in the intermissions and before and after the show seeing the art. And we also have a hallway down by our education wing where a lot of times we have student art that's separate. And so it's a great opportunity to just expose more art right. to more people.
Yeah. And just think again about how a young artist can get started.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and if somebody buys one of their pieces, how exciting that is.
It is. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get to the question of funding. I think you guys have kind of a unique situation there. Tell us about where you get your funding from.
Well, we do. Well, first of all, we're a completely private facility. So some people think we're part of the city. We have people coming in think we're part of the park system. We are an independent, we're a private facility. But our funding is unique in the fact that we get about 33% of our funding from our own performances when we have ticket sales above what the artist's fees might charge and based on all the marketing and ticket sales and so forth. Then we also have about 22% be our rentals and when we have our space out, not just for performers, but our space for weddings or corporate meetings. So we do get revenue from that. And we get a little bit from our endowment and investments, but then about a 33% is from our donors. So, and even half of that is from our three fundraisers. We have a gala on the first Saturday of each June. We have a golf outing in August, and we have a luncheon in October. So we have three fundraisers. That's about half of our donor contributions. And then the remaining is from our annual appeals and so forth. So what helps us is this diversity of funding sources really helps us not put so much pressure on donors or making a fundraiser have to be a certain amount or that we can't have a show that might not make a lot of money, but it might be something we want to do for the community that might not be the biggest fundraiser. It's okay. We have that diversity in funding allows us to do that.
Nice. Very nice. So, okay, you got lots to offer the community. So what would you say is next then? I mean, is there any exciting initiative or project or something coming up on the horizon?
Well, we're working with our board right now to talk about that. We have two things we're really trying to do in the next few years. One is, of course, to build our endowment a little bit to remain for our future sustainability. We will be having our 25-year anniversary in 2 years. But the other thing is we want to continue to be state-of-the-art. And that's hard to do because technology changes. We need to continually upgrade our sound, our lighting, even our seats, some of the other facilities. Those of you who own buildings know you have to have heating and air, roofs, all those kinds of things. So I didn't know all that when I took this role on. But
You're quickly learning.
Yeah, a facility has to be lit and it has to have heat and air and appropriately so and just maintained. And so we want to continue to figure out, keep us the best we can be and position us for the future.
And you had also mentioned at one point that you solicit audience feedback after every performance, which is great because you might have one thing for an idea in the future, but how nice to bring in the audience and ask them, you know, what do you guys think? Is there something you want to see in particular?
That is funny because sometimes one of our recent performers made a special statement from the floor that he did not want filming, and we typically have that in many contracts. And so in the post-event feedback, there were several people that said, oh, I'm so glad, because sometimes that's so distracting. And then other people said, I was so disappointed, I really wanted to do that. So
you're never going to please everybody, right?
Never going to please everybody. We do our best, right. But it is kind of funny what people say.
Well, and I imagine it gives you ideas. I mean, we do that at the end of all of our events, because sometimes people will give us ideas that, again, we just never even thought of.
Right, so. And we always want to hear about performers. We book quite a bit ahead. But if someone has an idea for us or something that we're not doing, we certainly are always interested in hearing from our patrons.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we end, I want to just make sure that you give our audience contact information. What's the best way for people to learn about the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center or to get tickets? Again, can they just Google it?
Well, our website is wilson-center.com. When you go on that, there is a pop-up that will ask you if you want to get subscribed. We send out 2 newsletters a month. On the 1st, it tells us everything. And on the 15th, it's particularly focused on our education opportunities. So that's it. 2 emails, that's it. Our box office, typically we announce our season in the spring and sell season tickets. And then usually single tickets for individual performances will usually happen in June, early June or mid to late June. And performances for the season typically start in August or September. So, but you can buy tickets any time of year. Our holiday shows are always great for gifts. And I always encourage people, don't wait until the end of November to think about that gift for your parents. If you want to send your parents to the symphony, don't wait till the end of November. Start thinking about that in September.
Okay. I thought you were going to say the summertime.
Well, that's even better.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Really get in there early. Okay. Well, thank you, Sandy Wysocki, Executive Director from the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center. Thank you for sharing all the information and all the ways that you make an impact in our community.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It was fun to share it.
Yeah, you're certainly welcome. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Elmbrook Rotary or the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center using the contact information that they shared. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest for our show, you can email their contact information to me at jill@ellenbecker.com. I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways that people and organizations are making an impact in our community in a variety of ways. You can tune into News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. And if you miss a show on Sunday morning, no problem. You can visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, and we're also on demand, so you can check that out there as well. If you have a desire to live a life that is meaningful and purposeful and you want to find different ways to give to others, think about what our guests shared today. Maybe becoming a Rotarian to give back to local or global causes is something that aligns with your interests and your values. Or perhaps you are an arts and entertainment enthusiast and you want to support that area of interest. Then give some of the events at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center a try. Sandy talked about many, many different things that are going on over there. And as I said in the beginning of the show, there are so many different service organizations out there to choose from. You just have to determine how and with whom you want to share your time, talent, and treasure to give back and pay it forward. Think about what Winston Churchill said about not only making a living by what we do, but more importantly, making a life by what we give. In so doing, you'll have found a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.